Cornucopia Radio presents.
Life is a journey, but what is a journey without a map? Without a map, it's nothing more than an attempt to get from where you are to where you're not, all the time never knowing if you're truly on the right path. So allow me to be your own personal guide along the road of life. My name is Dr. Lilium, and to begin with, let me ask you just one simple question. Do you know where you're starting your journey from? Because if you don't, how do you know if you've even left yet?
Pot Noodles and Knickers by Nick Card.
How could she do this to me? How could she, Kevin? 2 months from getting married, for God's sake. I know I've been working late recently, but it was only so we could afford to get a house and raise a family. She knew that. I told her 1,000 times. I just can't believe how she abandoned me with nothing but a Dear John letter.
A letter?
Well, Dear John email. Well, Dear Dave. You know what I mean.
What do you want me to say?
Well, nothing, I suppose. It's not your fault, I guess.
Have you been playing that self-help LP I gave you?
Where did you find that thing? It must be over 50 years old.
It used to belong to me grandfather. He gave it to me dad. Dad gave it to me, and now I've given it to you.
And I'll be giving it to eBay.
Look, are you sure you want to go on this hike when you've got all this stuff going on in your head?
It's probably the best thing for me. A long walk in the Peak District. Help me take my mind away from it all. You know, getting back to nature. I'll be at one with added Vesta meals and pot noodles.
No way! I've not packed, nor are we having any pot noodles. I can't stand them. I'd rather have a turd on a cocktail stick. Actually, whilst we're on about food, what emergency grub did you pack?
Well, I... Is that an eagle?
Where?
Over there.
No, I think it's just a large crow. Maybe a fat one.
Whatever. I'm going for a pee. I'll be back in a minute.
Come on, come on. Answer for God's sake. Hi, Katie, it's me. Look, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Upset. He's destroyed. God, I feel awful. No, it's okay. He's gone for a pee. Why couldn't you have waited until after the walk? I know it's been building up for months, but one more week, damn it. Yes. Yes. Hey? You can't find your knickers. Well, yeah, it was a bit of a rush, I guess. Yes. Yes, I love you too. Christ, it's coming back. I'll call you when we get to the bed and breakfast. Yes!
Yes, okay.
Bye, 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 bye.
All right, Dave.
I was just letting my mum know we're okay. Oh, and before I forget, thanks for lending me that money last week.
Oh, that's okay. Just make sure you pay it back or Dino and the heavy mob will come round and go through the terms and conditions with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like bankers.
Yeah.
I just feel bad taking so much.
Come on, Kevy, it's not like it's going to bankrupt me. Besides, I couldn't do this hike without you. I also need someone to talk everything through with. God, I'll miss her and everything about her. I'll even miss those stupid knickers she wears.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you see, Katie's got this thing about novelty underwear, and in particular her little pair of black knickers with a red heart and her initials stitched on.
Yeah. Going from your description, that is. Look, I know it's tough, and it will take time, but ultimately it's just a case of getting used to being on your own.
But I've been going out with Kate since I was 11 years old.
I know. I was there the day you met her.
I'll never get used to being on my own. I'll be lost without her.
Don't be afraid of taking risks. Sometimes you have to strive forward and believe that what you're doing is correct. Remember, the first step will always be the hardest.
I'm lost. I mean, we're lost, aren't we? Not just in a figurative sense.
Well, we definitely should have reached the Sole Regret bed and breakfast by now.
Look, it's going to be dark soon. We're not going to get much further tonight.
Yeah, you're right. Let's pitch up the tent. We better be careful when we set off in the morning. This ground looks pretty bumpy.
Wherever this ground is, we are still in Yorkshire, aren't we?
Well, if we're not, we're really lost.
Just checking.
Look, I'm really sorry about this, really. But we're only a couple of hours behind. We can easily make it up. I know it's bad, especially after everything else I've done to you.
What do you mean, after everything else you've done to me?
Oh, just a slip of the tongue. Come on. We've got to get the tent pitched up.
Kevin.
You said yourself it'll be dark soon.
What's going on? Why can't you look at me? You're acting like you've killed somebody.
Oh, Christ. I'm really sorry about this.
Look, whatever it is, I won't get angry with you. Probably. Unless you really have killed somebody.
You don't know what it is.
It can't be that bad.
Oh, you've been such a good mate to me.
Right.
And I'd never do anything like this.
Okay.
Sometimes we just do stuff we know we shouldn't.
What are you going on about?
Dave, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But I'm going to need a few extra months to pay you the money back you lent me.
Oh, for God's sake. I told you, just pay it back when you can. It's not a problem.
You'll get it all back, every penny of it. Promise.
Okay, finish with the drama school? Come on, let's put the tent up.
Pass the tent pegs from my rucksack. Dave, what's wrong?
Do you remember I was telling you about Katie's black novelty knickers with the big red heart and her initials on them?
Yes. What about them?
Well, why have you gotten them in your rucksack?
Conflict is a natural part of life. As much as night follows day, conflict is something which must happen if any problem is to find its eventual resolution. You'll soon find that no problem is as ever as big as it first seems.
Good morning. Did you sleep well with your black eye? No? Good. So I'm going this way and you're not. I never want to see or hear from you again, is that clear?
Just be careful with the ground.
I don't want any final hiking tips. I just want you out of my life. Right, goodbye. I hope you die. Soon.
Dave!
My ankle!
You've twisted it. I can tell by the way you're holding it. Looks like you've gone over on it badly. You can't even stand up. You need help.
Not from you, I don't.
Who the hell else is going to help you?
I'll manage. Now get lost.
I know what you said, but I'm not going anywhere. You need help. I know you hate me and you've every reason to, but I won't leave you to die.
To die? What am I going to die from? A sore foot?
This isn't the bloody Hilton Hotel. There's no room service out here. Sod all food, water and no shelter. You're not going to last very long.
All right, just leave me the tent then.
And how are you going to put it up? Look, I'm just going to make sure you get to safety, okay?
So what are we going to do?
I think we're best to call the rescue team. I've run out of battery. How about your phone?
No good. Dead as yours. Bloody angry birds.
There's nothing for it. We've got to try and struggle our way to the next village. Now put your arm around my shoulder. Look, come on. We've got to do this. That's it. Get you up. Now, step by step, we're going to limp away. Come on.
How could you two do this to me, Kevin?
Would it help if I said I'm sorry?
No, it bloody well wouldn't!
Well, I am. What else do you want me to say?
Nothing. Don't say a damned thing.
Look, if that's what you want, I just thought...
I said, don't say a damned thing. I just can't believe I'm stuck here limping around with a git who stole my woman.
Do you think I like this? Because I don't. There's no other way.
Yeah, is that what you told her?
Except that there are things in this world we can't change. You can save yourself from wasting many an hour in a bad mood by just getting on with life. Acceptance of these situations will also allow you to start finding ways to cope much faster.
I'm sure we'd have reached the village by now, but while there's limping like this, I've barely done 5 or 6 miles so far.
I see.
There's probably a village a few miles away, but God knows which direction.
I see.
And I'm knackered. We've been limping all bloody day. Oh, let's pitch up the tent. I wish we'd packed another meal.
I see.
Can you see anything apart from I see?
I've got some food in my bag.
Oh, thank God. Of course, I forgot you'd brought some emergency food. Right, let's get it out. I'm starving.
You're not going to like it, though.
Oh, God, bloody pot noodle.
Sometimes you have to forget what you want to do and try remembering what you need to do.
Of all the food in the world, why did you have to bring that? God, I must have spent half an hour puking up everything bar my toenail.
How was I supposed to know it'd have that effect on you?
Apart from anything else, emergency food is supposed to be something you can easily unwrap and gives you energy. You know, like chocolate bars or bananas, not pot noodles.
Well, like it or not, it's the last food you're going to have for a while.
Yeah, I know. And we just boiled the last of our water.
You know, once I heard a story about a plane crash in the middle of the wilderness and only half the passengers survived.
And how did they survive?
By eating the other half.
And your point being?
Well, if the worst is true and we get stuck out here, it's unlikely we will both die simultaneously. I'm just saying I'm glad I saved that sachet of soy sauce from the chow mein I had the other day. It might come in handy.
Oh, thanks for that, Dave. Just the inspiration I was looking for. How's your ankle holding up?
I'll soldier on. How's the black eye? Still black?
It's not just the black eye. Supporting you and your rucksack all day is giving me a right backache. But I'll just have to make do.
It still looks pretty bad. I probably shouldn't have done that.
Hey, I deserved it.
No, you didn't, Kevin. Well, maybe a little. Is it possible to give somebody half a black eye? You only deserved mild bruising at best. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Dave. I think. Right. Now, we've got to keep our spirits up to get through this.
Yes. A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. You know who said that? Churchill.
The dog in those insurance adverts?
No. Winston Churchill.
Well, I can't say this will be our finest hour. But today, we will hobble our way to safety.
What happened?
Be back! When I put the rucksack on my shoulder, my back, it just went. No, it's completely gone. I can't even stand.
All right, just take it easy, mate. Put the rucksack down.
I never thought I'd hear you say that word to me again.
What word? Rucksack?
Mate.
Always affirm and visualize positive situations and events. Imagine a happy and positive solution to your problems, and soon you'll find what's in your head will also be in your heart.
Good. The phone's ringing. Ah, hello. Is this the Mountain Emergency Takeaway? We'd like to order some food, please. For starters, Dave will have the soup of the day with prawn toast and spring rolls. And I will have 3 samosas, 3 onion bhajis with a side salad. Then for our main course, Dave will have the sweet and sour chicken with egg fried rice and some prawn crackers. Whereas I will have the chicken korma with pilau rice and pastrami naan bread with a little pot of mango chutney. And for dessert, Dave will have the sticky toffee pudding and I will have the Ben and Jerry's cookie dough ice cream. And also, can we have 2 large bottles of whiskey with that as well? Great. Now, I would like it delivered to a remote little patch in the countryside somewhere in the Peak District. Does your free delivery service cover our area? That's fine. Thanks. Bye. About half an hour, Dave.
Excellent. If only.
It would be good, wouldn't it? Having a phone that can turn on would be a brucey bonus as well. So have you enjoyed your holiday then?
Oh yeah, I've had a whale of a time. A memorable affair. One for the scrapbook. Why did you have Katie's knickers in your rucksack?
I didn't put them there on purpose. It was just our clothes were next to each other and I was in a mad rush to pack up in time. I must have put them in by accident.
You could have left me several times, you know.
I owed it to you. I had to make sure you reached safety, and besides, Katie was expecting me to call her when we got to the bed and breakfast, so when I didn't, she'll have twigged something was wrong. She's bound to have called the rescue team. They'll find her soon.
How soon is soon, Kevin? Only you've been saying they'll find us soon all day. We've got to face a dark possibility.
What do you mean?
They may not ever find us. We'll just end up as food for the crows. No wonder they're fat.
We're going to be rescued before you know it.
We are not in control of the situation. We're skating on thin ice and it could crack at any time.
Jeez, what's with all the gloom, doom and bad metaphors?
I'm just saying, we have to be prepared for the possibility. And so, whilst we still have the strength, energy and time, there's something we really need to discuss. Look at me, Kevin. Look me in the eyes.
You're not going to try and hypnotise me, are you?
Joking aside, why?
I'm not so sure where to begin. Let me start by saying, I love Katie.
You love her?
I've always loved her, from the first moment I met her.
We met her at the same time, remember?
Yeah, but even though at that age I thought all girls were silly, there was something different about her. I remember the smile she gave me and you. Her eyes were so soft and gentle, like a mountain stream. And she still smiles as beautifully now as she did then. The years have taken nothing away from it. But I hid it all away, even from myself. It wasn't until my early teens that I really knew what I was feeling, and that made me scared.
Scared?
Scared of my true feelings were going to slip out. Scared I would just start randomly kissing her, as I had done in my head 1,000 times. Scared of how you, my best friend, would react. But as soon as I learned how to pretend and not show my feelings and be almost comfortable with it, I say almost, even when we had a great time, I never really enjoyed it because I was always wanting something I couldn't have.
You could have told me. I would have listened. I might not have understood, but I would have listened.
But I could see you were so happy together, and in many ways I wanted for you to be happy, but there was always that other side of me that wanted it to end, wanted it to be over so that I could make things different for myself.
But that never happened. I know you've never had an out-and-out girlfriend, but have you even tried looking?
Oh, believe me, I have. Not in clubs and bars, though. I can't do the face-to-face thing. I'm just a bag of nerves when it comes to speaking to women. I just turn to jelly. I tried some of those internet dating sites, but I've got no confidence. I felt like some dodgy second-hand car salesman selling damaged goods. When it came to myself, the windscreen wipers worked, but the engine wouldn't turn over.
Have you never even been on a date?
I've had a few, but no one ever really gave me a chance. And do you know what? I don't blame them. Many women want a lover and some women want a child, but no woman wants a lover who is a child. Well, no one except Katie. Somehow she got past that. She got past me. And I just can't believe I'll ever meet anyone else who can do that.
Well, if you honestly believe that, then I suppose that goes a long way in explaining why you did what you did. But didn't you ever consider my feelings? You know, the person she was going to marry? That's kinda important.
I thought about nothing else. In time, I knew you'd get over it and find someone else. But as I saw it, I would never get over not having Katie. I know it sounds really selfish, but I knew my need was much greater than yours. That was my one and only chance of finding love.
Yeah, that's pretty much the dictionary definition of selfishness.
You know, I've been desperately wanting love for years since my teens, particularly as I don't get on with my parents, I don't have a good job, and apart from hiking, well, I don't really have any hobbies. I've always viewed love as this big thing missing in my life. Without it, I'm just drifting through the years, sucking up other people's unwanted air.
Well, it takes two. Katie must have been just as open to this. She must have had feelings outside of a platonic friendship.
Katie said that deep down she always had some feelings for me, but we never did anything about it. Up until recently.
When?
I sort of built up over a period of time when I was keeping her company. Believe me, Dave, keeping a company was all it was to start with. I wasn't looking to get anything out of it. Yes, I had feelings for her, but honestly, I was just being a supportive friend. We'd just sit and chat and, you know, maybe watch a bit of TV. Initially, I did this once a week and then twice a week, then three times a week until eventually I was round there most nights.
I'd no idea you were around as much as that.
You were too busy with work. Anyway, despite my frequent visits, it was still all innocent. It was only when she started telling me she felt a distance growing between you and her that things began to change. But the change was very gradual. But yet, so much was said in those goodbye hugs. And as we both spoke of feeling unloved, I noticed how the hugs were lasting longer and she was holding me a touch tighter. And so with every hug goodbye, the tension grew and grew until one night everything just stopped. As if God had pressed the pause button on his remote control. And that's when we kissed. Shortly afterwards, you rang up to say that due to some crisis at work, you weren't going to be home till God midnight, so I stayed. And it happened. Look, Katie is a woman that needs to be loved. She's an all-or-nothing girl, and for years you truly did give her your all, and she was happy. But something changed. You changed.
I know.
So let me ask you the same question you asked me. Why?
I'm not sure where to begin either. You see, the family always expected me to be successful.
But you've always said that all your overtime was because of wanting to get an house and raise a family.
Well, that wasn't a lie.
But it wasn't the whole truth either.
No, it wasn't.
And you never said this to Katie, did you?
Well, I only realised that this afternoon. Whilst you dozed off earlier, I had a brief moment of clarity.
But it's only in the last year or so you've become career-obsessed. Something must have happened.
It was around this time last year. Me and Katie had Sunday lunch with my whole family. It's not often me, my two brothers and my sister all in the same room, but on this occasion they were all there. Katie nipped upstairs to the toilet and the conversation got on to work and what I was planning to do with my career. Now, you've got to understand that all of my family are very successful in their own fields. Dad has always taught us that success is a choice, that it's not fate or chance, but an act of free will. You choose to be successful, and then you take whatever action is necessary to make your success materialise.
Sounds a bit heavy. Whatever happened to just living a life?
That's how he sees it, and he's indoctrinated this belief onto all of us. So when I told him I had yet to have a promotion, I could feel their disappointment. It was silent, unspoken, but absolutely screaming. So I worked more and more, always trying to go up the ladder.
But you couldn't, because there wasn't any opportunity for you. There was no more ladder to climb.
But my family won't accept that.
Well, your family needs to learn. Besides, we're British. We love losers. It's our cousins across the ocean who love winners. And anyway, what does it matter? You're a decent man with good values, and apart from beating me up, you've never gone off the rails. Your family should be proud of that. And being a good man, that is. Not for beating me up. They definitely wouldn't be proud of that. I hope.
I hear you, and yours is the voice of reason. But you're not going to change them. You can choose your friends, but
you can't choose your family.
No, I was going to say, but you can't stop your father from being a bullying git.
So you've turned yourself inside out, worked stupid hours and destroyed your relationship. Was it worth it?
No. But I guess some things just are the way they are, despite what that stupid self-help record says.
So, we've confessed our sins and explained our reasons. What now?
Do you still want to be with Katie?
No, not after all this. How about you? You still want to marry her?
I don't think we're really in a position to get married anymore.
So, what are we going to do?
Well, we've had our say in this, but Katie needs to give her side as well. So how about this? Me, you and Katie are going to get into a room, she'll have her say, and then together we'll sort this mess.
Sorting out this mess could take a while. And besides, what if we can't?
I have absolutely no idea. But through truth and understanding, we'll find a way. Alternatively, we can just get drunk and shout at each other for a few hours.
I'm afraid we're both overlooking something. We've been stranded in a remote part of the Peak District, and unless someone picks us up soon, we'll never have a conversation with anyone else in our lives, let alone Katie and her novelty knickers.
Well, if this is the final curtain, if we are joining the greater majority, if we are going to die on these hills, then remember this when you draw your terminal breath. I forgive you, because you are my friend, and you always will be, unless I have to beat you up again.
Is that someone I think it is?
If it is, then we're saved!
We already have been.
No, we haven't.
I meant metaphysically.
A metaphysical helicopter. Just wave your hands so they can spot us, Kevin. Just wave your hands.
Love is an essential part of life, and you can find it all around you. Not just in the husband, wife, or child that greet you after a hard day at work, but also from the friends you meet each day on the street, or the nature that surrounds us all on a bright, sunny day. But you have to be ready for love, or it might pass you by. And the first step is to love yourself. And now, after listening to this record, it's something that I know you'll be able to do successfully. Pod Noodles and Knickers was written by Nick Card and featured Philip Mason as Dave, Jonathan Sire as Kevin, and Patagas Roth as Dr. Lilium. It was produced and edited by Peter Beston and released under a Creative Commons agreement. For further details and to listen to even more of our original productions, visit us on the web at www.cornucopia-radio.co.uk.